Okay, we are on sheet 11, and the title is Halacha and Nevuah, which you should be able to translate, means Halacha and Nevuah. Shitat HaRambam. The Shita of the Rambam. The Rambam has a very specific Shita in Nevuah. We're going to look, a Shita means a position, means a specific approach or position in Nevuah. And we are going to contrast that next time with the Kuzari, with Rav Tzadok HaKohen, with Rav Kook. We're going to see Rav Kook next time, who has a very different Shita in Nevuah. But for now, let's stick today with the Rambam. What is Nevuah? Why did we have it? Why do we no longer have it? Why are there no Nevi'im walking around with us today? That's a good question. What was it? Is it something to do with the Beit HaMikdash? Apparently not, because we had Nevi'im without the Beit HaMikdash. So what is it about our world, our Jewish world today, that takes away the possibility of Nevuah? We'll have to talk about that as we go along. But for now, to see the Psukim. The Psukim introduced to us the idea of Nevuah as follows. Ki ha-goyim ha-eile, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us, there are nations that you're going to. Hashem ata yoresh oisam. That you're going to go live with these people, and you need to be aware, he says. El ma'oinanim va'el kosmim yishma'u. Who do they listen to? Who do they go to for ma'oinanim? Astrologers, magicians, people who are connected with the dark side, whatever that is. Again, whether we believe that there is a reality to black magic and that kind of stuff is not the subject for today. That's a major debate in the Rishonim. It's a major machlok. It's the Rambam and the Rive, various other people. I'm not getting into that now. But these people go to search, to ask questions to these people. Kosmi means magicians, meaning people who are doing sorcerers, who have access to different things. The Ata, but you, Loichem, Nasan Lecha Hashem Elokecha. God does not want you to do that. So where do you go? Where are you meant to go in order to get access to this kind of information and guidance? Navi mikir b'cham e'achecha k'moini yakim l'cha Hashem l'kecha. I'm going to give you, says God, a Navi. I'm going to send you Nevi'im, men and women who have Nevuah. Elav tishma'un, you must listen to them. In other words, the Nevi'im are a replacement, a kosher alternative to astrology and looking into the occult, etc. Because you asked for this, says God. You asked for this at Chorev, at Har Sinai, at Yom HaKal, when we all gather together, Lemor. I can't listen to God directly anymore. Don't forget the people said to Moshe, God is too intense. We cannot have a direct relationship with God as human beings. There's so much fire. We don't want to die. We don't want to be subject to this. God said to me, they said the right thing. That is correct, what they're saying. Navi akim lahem mikerev achecha. I'm going to send you Nevi'im. Kamoicha, like you, Moshe. Not exactly like Moshe, because we saw last time, Moshe's Nevi'im was very different. V'nasati divarai bapiv. I'm going to put my word into the mouth of the Nevi'im. V'diber aleihem es kol ha-she'atzavena. And they will have to tell the people what I want the people to know. V'haya ha'ish asher lo yishmael divarai. Anyone who does not listen to my words, Asher Yidaber Bishmi, which are said in my name by the Navi, Anochi Ed Rosh Mi'emo, I will seek retribution against that person. They are ignoring what I want them to do. Meaning, God speaks to us through Nevuah. That is one of the systems through which God communicates to the world. There are many systems. We have many systems of leadership in the Jewish world when it works appropriately. We have the Navi. We have the Kohen. We have the Sanhedrin and the Chachamim. We have the Melech. We are communicated to in many different ways by many different people.
We don't have Rabbanim.
Sanhedrin is Rabbanim. Chochmah. God speaks to us through learning as well. But it's a different system, as we'll see in the Rambam, and never the twain shall meet. Yes, Michal. Adina, just shut the door, please.
If they follow all of Madriga at Hasina, where they speak directly with God, why don't they all just get Nevuah? Why don't they, if the Navi can take it in his...
Good, good, good. That's an excellent question. And the Rambam himself, in Mori Nevuchim, makes very clear that in fact the Jewish people at the Har Sinai did not have Nevuah. They were not on the level on which they could take Nevuah. Hence the reason that they weren't able to take it and they died, quote unquote, and they were just unable to communicate with God directly. Moshe was on a level of Nevuah. But you can't just become a Navi like this overnight. 7 weeks before, whatever, they were slaves in Egypt and now they're Nevi'im. Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 years preparing to be a Navi. And the people can't just do it in 7 weeks. Okay, there's a machlokes on that as to how that works. Other people say they were on 11 Nevuah, but in the Rambam Shita, the Jewish people of Hasidim were not Nevi'im. They had an unmistakable connection with God, but that wasn't sustainable for reasons that we'll see. To be a Novi, you have to be able to develop an awful lot of, what's the word? An awful lot of, Kalim is not the right word in English, because it's not a word in English, but you have to have the tools to be able to connect with God. Faculties, you have to be prepared. The Jewish people couldn't do that at Har Sinai. Yes?
Prepared with what? Like, how did Moshe spend time preparing?
So we'll talk about that in a few minutes, but let's put that on hold for now. Let's have a look now in the Rambam in number 2. Let's look at the Rambam in number 2. So, the halachic authority of a prophet comes from the fact that the Pasuk says, you must listen to the prophet. The prophet doesn't have authority because they come and work signs and wonders, and they're miracle workers. We are not impressed by miracle workers per se. Meaning, look at number 2. Nimset Omis is the Rambam. It turns out, Shikol Navi Shiyamad Acha Moshe Rabbeinu, any Navi that comes after Moshe Rabbeinu, Ein Anu Ma'aminim Boi Mipnei Ha'Oish Levavei. We don't believe them just because they do a sign. Now, doing a miracle is one of the ways that a Navi can prove that they're really a Navi. In other words, if Oriya just walks out of the room and says, Rabbi Manning, I'm a Navi, listen to me, how do I know that she's right? How do I know that she's speaking the truth? So there's a system, and the Rambam talks at length in this Hakdama to the Mishnah, to the Mishnah. They have to give a sign, they have to give a prediction, whatever it is, they have to do something that indicates that they're really tuned in. But once they've given the sign, whatever it is, that's not why I believe them. And people will say, if they can do a miracle, nishmala, we'll believe them. No, that's not true. And says the Rambam, we believe a Navi because God gave us a mitzvah, one of the Tariag mitzvahs, to believe a Navi. And he says, if he gives a sign, you have to listen to him. That's the psukim we just read. And he gives a very interesting marshal. You're in a court case. Two Edim come along and say they witnessed something. They witnessed a guy stealing from a shop. So we believe them. Why do we believe them? We don't know if it's true. Just because two people said it happened, it doesn't necessarily mean it did. In Shekhar, maybe they're lying. Maybe it never happened. I don't know that you really stole if two people say you stole. I don't know that. Nevertheless, I'm perfectly entitled to act on the basis that a person stole if two people say, kosher aliens say that they stole. Why? Because we have to have systems in place as human beings. Well, we don't have total knowledge of everything. We have to have systems that allow us to act even if we don't know it's true. We can rely on the fact that we assume it's true. That's what witnesses are.
Do you have aliens that appear to be kosher but they're actually not good aliens?
So what else? Well, what do you want me to do? If they check all the boxes, if they pass all the tests, and they look like the kosher Edim, I can rely on them. I can never turn around and say, well, you never know. Maybe they're not kosher Edim, because how can I run my life like that? This actually is a very deep existential question, which is not really existential, but it's an epistemological question. What is epistemology?
Big words. I can't describe it, but I don't know the
word. Well, if you can't describe it, you don't know the word.
No. I don't think that's true.
That is true. If you don't know how to explain it, it means you don't know it properly.
Use it in context of your problem.
It's an epistemological question.
Yeah, about context.
I don't know if I spelt it right.
Really.
That letter might not be right. Epistemology means.
No.
I don't think so. But it may be related. That's already beyond my knowledge. What's epistemology? You have to know this. Is that if you ever read any of Rav Soloveitchik, you have to know a few important basic words. Epistemology means the understanding of how do we know anything? How do we know anything? How do we know we're not just brains in some big professor's study, sitting in a bowl of fluid? How do we know we're on a matrix? Being influenced by things around us. How do we know anything? Says the Rambam, how do we know that somebody stole from a shop? It's the study of how we know anything. And therefore the Rambam says, how do we know a Navi is true? Because the mitzvah says to listen to him. If the Navi checks out, he or her, we're allowed to listen to him. And at the end of the day, in Halacha as well, if we're looking for truth, we're going to talk about this, multiple truths. What is true? What does God want me to do? What is the emes? So the emes is not necessarily what is objectively true. The emes is the best I can possibly do in the system that I have as a human being to get to what I think is true. And that is what is true, as far as I as a human being is concerned. And that's a very important point, because even if there's an objective truth which lays somewhere beyond what I'm able to get to, if I can't get there, then how can you ever hold me accountable for that? Am I making sense? This is a very important point. And the Rambam's making this point with Nevuah, he's making this point with Edim as well. But we're focusing on Nevuah. Yes?
If you have two Nevi'im at one time, both of them have done their miracles. The victory,
right.
The Nevi'im, they've said these.
Who do you listen
one
to?
One of them comes along and says something, and the other one comes along and says, that's not true, Hashem just told me it's not true. How do you have a choice to listen to
that? That's a good question. I'm not sure of the answer to that. You have one Nevi, both of them check out, but one of them's gone off the rails. One of them's lying.
Yeah, so one of, but you don't know which one's lying. One of them might be saying something, the other one comes along and lies by saying, Hashem told me that's false. Or one of them says something, the other one's telling the truth by saying,
right.
That's it.
You have, with Edo, are you thinking with Edo Hanavi? I don't know if you're thinking about the story of Edo Hanavi, where he was told not to go and stop on the way back from Yeravam. He was told not to stop anywhere and eat anything, and then a false Navi came and said, God's changed his mind and God now wants you to stop, and he listened to the false Navi and then he got into trouble, etc., etc. There's a whole story there. So I don't 100% know exactly how you make that distinction. Maybe there's nothing you can do. What do you do if two sets of witnesses both come and say, we say he did it, we say he didn't do it? Like, you know, how do you start balancing testimony against it? That's also a question. We have a whole parsha in the Torah of Edim Zomamim that allows us to believe one set of witnesses over another set of witnesses, but that's also because it's a mitzvah. You know, one set of witnesses say, we saw him shoplift. And the second set of witnesses say, you couldn't have seen that because you were with us on the beach on the other side of the country. So the Chumash says we listen to the second set of witnesses. Why? They could be lying just the same as the... There comes a point where you really don't know what to do. You have to have some like rules, some halacha to tell you who to listen to. Shmuel HaNavi was the first real Navi. Of course, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were Navi'im. And Moshe was a Navi, She'ein Kamoihu, but he wasn't really a Navi. Moshe was something quite different from a Navi in the standard sense. We'll see, you know, more about that, or we saw last time a little bit. Moshe, the Rambam says that when we say Moshe was a Navi, when we say Moshe was a Navi, we don't mean that, we don't use that word in any way the same sense as any other Navi, we just happen to use the same word, but it's really something completely different. But Shmuel was a Navi. And we saw that originally there was very little Nevuah. Have a look at number 3. Hanar Shmuel, Mesharet et Hashem. Shmuel was serving God. We don't know how old he was at this stage. He was a young boy. He'd been working in the Beit HaMikdash with Eli for a number of years. He was serving God, Lipnei Eli, before Eli. Udvar Hashem haye yakar b'yamim haye. God's word was yakar. What's yakar?
Precious.
Meaning what?
Rare.
Rare. Very rare. A very rare thing. Okay. Ein chazon nifras. Chazon had not yet been nifras. What's nifras?
Spread
out. He hadn't broken out yet. What's chazon? What's chazon? Hmm? What's a chazan? A canter. Why is the canter called a chazan? No, he doesn't have a real focus. Because he's the one reading a book. He's the one reading a book. It used to be in the old days that the cantor, that the chazan was the only one who had a sefer. Everybody else was just listening and saying, amen. So he's the one that can see. Shh. A chazan, you have to share it at least if it's funny. Yeah, it loses in the repetition, right? Girls, listen. A chazan is a vision. It's Nevuah. It's another word for Nevuah. And Nevuah had not yet really broken out at this stage. But at a certain point in history, with Shmuel onwards, Nevuah suddenly breaks out. To the point that we have loads of Nevi'im. Now, we identify a certain number of Nevi'im, but they're only the ones that have relevance for all generations. There were many, many more. Look at 4 and 5. Tan Rabbanan, Arba Shmon Nevi'im. There were 48 specific male Nevi'im. Sheva Nevi'ois. 7 specific women Nevi'im. This Nabu Lahem Yisrael. Below Pachasu... Meaning identified, meaning there were many, many more than these people. Okay?
How
should we know? So we'll go to the Rambam at the end here. So these were the ones that we know about. They didn't add to the Torah, they didn't take away from the Torah. But these were only the ones that we know about. If you look in number 5, Harbe Nevi'im Amdu Lahem Yisrael, the Gemara, the same Gemara in Megillah says, actually there were thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, Kiflaim Ki Yotzim Yisrael, more, double the number that came out of Egypt. I mean, we're talking about millions of people over the course of time. So what happened to what all these Nevi'im said? El Nevu'ah Shehutzuchu L'Doris, the Nevu'ah that we needed for all generations, that we have, Nichtava, Shaloi Hutzuchu L'Nichtava. Meaning, people had access to Nevi'im. Your daughter was a Novi. Your next door neighbor was a Nevi'ah, okay? Your mother-in-law was a Nevi'ah. That's a scary thought, right? There were Nevi'im living around you. What did people use these people for?
To find donkeys,
as you quite rightly say, Sha'ul. He goes to ask Shmuel, where are my dad's lost donkeys? The Navi was a life coach. The Navi gave Musa. The Navi gave advice. The Navi helped you find yourself, find a job, find a spouse. The Navi was there to help you serve Hashem in the way that's most suitable to you. The Shaila is the Navi there to pask in your Shailas, to pask in your halachic questions? And there the Rambam is going to clearly say, absolutely not. The Navi is not allowed to do that. And other people are going to say, well, yes, maybe the Navi is. Yes, Michal.
Before Moshe, what was the Navi like? Because we always say that Miriam had Navi, which is
right. Right. Miriam is one of the Navi'ot. Right. Well, Nebuah is a
community.
Well, they were. Miriam was working with the Jewish people, and Avram was reaching out to the people of the world generally. God was communicating them whatever messages were needed for the people at the time. Obviously, there was no Torah yet in the Torah sense. Yeah, there was whatever came before Torah, which we talked about, but they were getting whatever messages were needed for the time. No. Moshe's Nevuah was in a whole different scale. Did they have the same Nevuah in the same way that Shmuel did? Yes. On a certain level, they had the Nevuah the same way that Shmuel did. But obviously a different message, because there was no Torah yet. Fine. So the Nevi'im started with Shmuel, really. And they were part of the Masorah on some level. Although the Rambam's going to say that's not halachic. In number 6, Sekeinu and Nevi'im. And Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi were the end of the Nevi'im. So you have this period. Think of Jewish history. I gave you your chart. I gave you that sheet. You got it somewhere. You don't need it now. But have a look at it sometime. Get an understanding. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
The Nevi'im span this period of history from roughly Shmuel to roughly the beginning of the Second Temple period. They're that one here. You can look at that later on. And the Rambam, as I said, his position clearly is these three big blocks, 8, 9, and 10, are saying basically the following. I'm not going to read through the whole thing in 8, 9, and 10. But in 8, 9, and 10, the Rambam is setting out his position that halacha can never be derived from prophecy. And he says in number 8, maybe I'll pick out a few words, he says they never added to mitzvahs, they never added to halacha. He says, look at what I put and underlined here, number 8. Ein hevdol ben sheyosef v'yigra b'mikraot. They never added to psukim. Now we'll see, that's going to be a debate. Is there any possibility that a Navi can add psukim to the Chumash after the Chumash was given? So the last 8 psukim, we already said, there's a question, can Yeshua write them? Is there any possibility that a later Navi could ever add psukim to the Chumash? That's going to be a highly controversial discussion, okay, which I'm not getting into now, but the Rambam's position is clearly, the answer is no, although we'll see that other people... That's what he's asking. He's saying no.
Okay.
Michal?
But can you not say that when he says that we only thought that was written down was what was needed for future generations?
Right.
Can you not say that from some of the Nevi'im that...
Yes, we use, absolutely, we use, correct. 100%. Hashkafa, a hashkafa, philosophy, theology, 100%. But halacha, not really. We occasionally learn some halachas from the psukim in the Nevi'im. But we saw already last time, some of those halachas were already known as halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim anyway, they're just connecting them. We do learn, we learn Kovet Shabbos and Oinig Shabbos from Yeshaya. Okay? You're doing it with Rabbi Emmet, right? Okay. So we do learn, but it's very occasional, and the question is, what is the status of those things? They're usually more like on a rabbinic level. We're not treating them as coming from God in that direct sense. So it doesn't matter whether they're adding psukim, they can't do that. Or sheyosef v'yigra perish hamakubal, or they're adding to the Torah Shabbat Peh, they can't do any of these things. And he says, if a Navi comes along and says, God told me this Kal V'Chomer, God told me this Halacha, he's a Navi Sheker. Why? Because, again, the Navi's authority is from the Torah. If the Navi is changing the Torah, he's undermining his own authority, or her own authority. And therefore, the Navi is not allowed to do that. Now, there is one major exception, which is box number 8. You got this? This idea of Hara Asha?
I have a
question. Yes?
And how is he supposed to say when he gets the Nevuah?
So the Nevuah is not allowed to relate to anything halakhic. The Nevuah is meant to relate to global things, your relationship with God, your relationship with other people.
No, so he's supposed to say, well, say the Nevuah is there's going to be a war. So he's not allowed to say, God told me that there's going
no,
to be a war.
No, he is. But that's not a halakhic issue.
Oh, this wasn't a halakhic issue. He's not allowed to say, God told me that.
Right.
I'm not allowed to eat chicken, I'm not allowed to
correct. There is a big distinction between fact and law. We'll see this later on. There are some issues which are questions of fact. This is in legal cases. Let me put my lawyer hat on for a second. Okay? I'm back now as a UK property lawyer. I'll be charging you large amounts of money for this advice. Okay? Fact, law. There's a big distinction. Some questions are questions of fact. Did he go into the shop? Did he steal? Did he not steal? Did he know what he was doing? These are all questions of fact. Then there are questions of law, which are, okay, so now we know what happened. What are the relevant legal principles that are applied to these facts? The Navi had to issue deal with questions of fact. And Oriu, you're right. He would say, God wants you to go to war. Am I allowed to cut down the fruit trees when I go to the war? That's a question of law. That's a question of halacha. That the Navi can't say yes or no. Yes.
Can you use a Navi as an aid?
An aid for what?
Like, in a court case. Like,
ah, as a witness.
Can you...
I thought you meant English aid.
No, can you, like...
The Navi acts sure that... you're now asking whether...
Because then if you ask him and he tells you, then why do you need two aid in if you just have one Navi?
That's such an interesting question. I never thought of that. Meaning, the Navi comes to court not to teach you the halacha, but to tell you, I know this guy stole. How do I know? Because God told me.
How does
I don't know what, I don't
know.
He's
like a legitimate Navi. You already know he's a legitimate Navi. He's not like walking off the street. You know he's a legitimate
I understand.
Navi.
Like, why are you saying that's not going to happen? I don't know. Why not? Why not? That's not halacha. That's a question of fact. Two Adim versus a Navi. You're asking. Two Adim versus a Navi. Two Adim come along and say, we saw him do it. The Navi come along and says, I know he didn't do it because God told me.
I don't know. Or even if you don't have other Adim versus a Navi, if you have two Adim for this case,
can you convict someone? You see, I suspect the answer is no. Because why? Just shut the door. I'm a bit obsessive about the door. Because the psukim say, who am I allowed to listen to in a courtroom? And he gives a specific validity to the Adim. Meaning the Adim have authority in the court. It doesn't say the Navi. The only person it could be, I'm guessing, I don't know Nadiva. But I'm guessing that the only person who you can listen to in a court are Adim, because that's what the psukim say you can listen to. If a Navi comes along, if the Navi is acting as an aid, meaning you interrogate him and say, and he says, yes, I saw it, I was there, etc., etc., fine, then he's just working as an aid. But if a Navi is coming with Nevuah, then maybe that doesn't work in court. I'm guessing, I don't know.
What do you do if you have the two conflicting sets of Adim? Can you ask the Navi which one is right?
No. I would have thought that's already a question of halacha, as to decide, you know, which Adim I should believe to. You're saying that's fact?
Yeah, it's a fact.
No, because it's a...
Find out which one is telling the truth and which one is lying.
Sometimes there's a blurred line. You're asking a good question. I don't know, girls. I'm not 100% sure. I suspect that the Navi has no place in the court of law, but I can't yet prove it. Next question?
Why shouldn't the Navi?
Oh, so that we'll look at next time. The Rambam understands that halacha loy b'shamayim hi. Loy b'shamayim hi. No, loy b'shamayim hi Torah shebichtav. In fact, the psukim are talking about Torah shebichtav. No, loy b'shamayim hi is Torah generally. Loy b'shamayim hi means I don't go to God anymore to answer my shailas. That's what loy b'shamayim hi means. That's how the Rambam understands loy b'shamayim. Because the system's in our hands. Because for questions which are not halacha. Who should I get married to, this man or this man? Which do you think will be best for me?
What's
that? You don't go to a rabbi to ask who to marry. That's not a halachic question. Because the Navi has insight into the reality of the universe. Look, I'm not telling you, Abby, that you have to go to a Navi to get asked who to marry. And you might go to a rabbi to ask him good advice. So look in Tanakh. Why were Nevi'im there? What did they do? What did they tell people? Go through the Tanakh from beginning to end. They tell people. They did tell people to do tshuva. They told people when to go to war. They told people how to improve. They told people like life questions. No, people make sure.
All God ordained.
No, because I'm not saying that every person was told by a Navi to get. I don't know. But it's very hard for us to understand the world of Nevuah. The idea that there are people walking around who have a direct link to God, it just doesn't think we can relate to that easily. But it's obviously a very important part of Judaism because it's built into the system, and it's something that we're trying to aim for again. How are we going to use a Navi? Something we're going to have to get used to. Adele, so you were very patient, and then I must go on.
We don't have Nevi'im now, so obviously we can survive without them. Why did they happen then?
Because we can survive. We can survive in Golas as well. But it doesn't mean that we can survive in an optimal way. There are levels of survival that are lower than others. Meaning, if we want to connect with God in the most intimate way, then the Navi is able to help us do that.
But also clearly, like, the Nevi'im that override the system, you said, like, now we have a system without Nevi'im, and it works fine.
Right.
What authority do we have?
The Rambam will tell you because the system that we have now is a halakha system, which was always independent of Nevi'im. The other people next week will tell you, the next time they'll tell you, that the system we have now is unfortunately lacking for Nevi'im.
Nevi'im.
According to the Rambam. Okay, we're learning that. So what are we lacking? We're lacking now insight. People make bad decisions, okay? Now, I'm not telling you that no one ever made a bad decision in the time of the Nevi'im, because people didn't listen to the Nevi'im, for starters. If people would have listened to the Nevi'im, they'd have made better decisions. Anyway, ladies, I must go on. Because we have a lot to do, and I haven't got long to do it. Look in number 9. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but number 9 is a whole shayla about a Hora'a Sha'a. The Hora'a Sha'a means what? Means that a Navi is able to override any Torah mitzvah, says the Rambam, on a one-off basis, as long as it's not a Avodah Zarah. Meaning that the Navi can come and say, as long as they're a regular Navi that's established their Nevuah, they can come along and tell you, you are allowed to break this mitzvah just for now, or not do this mitzvah just for now, as long as it's not permanent. And the example he gives is Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaNavi on Har HaKarmel. He comes along and he says, hey, we all have to build a, you know the story there, there was a Nevi Habal, there were false Nevi'im for Avodah Zarah, and he builds a Mizbeach, and he says, God's fire came down. So how is he allowed to build a Mizbeach? He goes to Har Carmel, he builds an altar. Why is there a problem building a Mizbeach? Right, there was a Bet Mikdash in Yerushalayim, its first temple period. Eliyahu HaNavi's building a Mizbeach on Har Carmel. He's not allowed to do that. Except he's a Hora'a Sha'a. If he'd have told the people, from now on there's a new mitzvah, we have a permanent Mizbeach on Har Carmel, so he's an Avi Sheker, he'd be Chayv Misa. But he didn't. He said, we're doing this afternoon because this is what God wants us to do. Or Elisha HaNavi, he says, with the issue of cutting down the trees. Elisha said they're allowed to cut down the trees on a one-off, but not on a permanent basis. This explains a number of the difficult problems that come up in Tanakh when not everyone in Tanakh was a Navi. Like Shimshon was not a Navi. Gideon was a Navi. You have to look, does God speak to these people or not? But sometimes people do things that seem to be anti-halachic. One of the possible answers to that question is, it was a Hora'a Sha'a. It's not the only possible answer, but within the Rambam system, that's really the only answer you can give, because they weren't allowed to generally paskin on halacha, so what else could it be? Yes, Adina. Yeah, he doesn't include that. It seems that he's saying, right, he's saying if the Navi says that I'm a genuine Navi, this person, God says this person has to die, so you'll be obliged to listen to the Navi. Because Avodah Zarah so uproots the entire system, it's almost as if he turned around and said that God doesn't want us to keep the Torah at all. Avodah Zarah is connected like everything. Therefore, you can't say God tells me to do Avodah Zarah, because the Avodah Zarah is by itself a denial of God. You can say God tells me to eat pork. You know, that's not. Michayahu HaNavi. Michayahu HaNavi told someone, God tells you to hit me in the face. It's in Chumash, okay? God gave him a Nevuah, find the next guy you meet and tell him to thunk you in the face. So Michayahu goes to the next guy, he says, hi, I'm Michayahu HaNavi, I'm a genuine Navi, and you know I am. God wants you to thump me in the face. And the guy refuses. He says, I'm not going to thump you in the face, you're a Navi. how can I thump you in the face? And he says, listen guys, if you don't thump me in the face, you're going to be in big trouble. Because you can't not listen to a Navi. He didn't listen to him. The guy got into big trouble.
Israel?
Yeah, this is in the Tanakh.
Why did he need to be punched in the face?
It's saying that this is a harasha. You're not allowed to thump someone in the face. But if the Navi says you have to thump someone in the face, you thump someone in the face. Again, we find it hard to relate to this. Because the idea of people walking out of caves and telling us that God speaks to them, it doesn't really fill us with joy. But if we lived in a world in which Nevi'im were real and Nevuah was real and these people prove themselves in a real way, then I think we'd be a bit more familiar. Anyway, we've only got 10 minutes, and I want to go on. No, I want to go on. I'm sorry. Let me show you something really interesting. What does it mean when the Gemara says, Teku? They don't know the answer. The Gemara is paskening Teku. If you look in number 13 for a second. Number 13. Number 11 and 12 are just saying that these are supports for the Rambam, different Gemaras that say that even if a person came along and said, even if a Navi came along and said that you should break the halacha, we wouldn't listen to him. Okay? And by the way, I didn't go into it, but the Rambam in number 10 said that the Navi weighs equally against the Chacham. If 1,001 Chachamim weigh up against 1,000 Nevi'im, and the Nevi'im are all on the level of Eliyahu or Navi, brilliant Nevi'im, the 1,001 Chachamim win over the 1,000 Nevi'im because it's a majority game. It's a majority analysis. It's not a game. It's real. It's a majority analysis, and therefore, you know, we don't give any weight. This is the Rambam through and through. It's consistent. He says the same thing. One second. So what's with Teku? So Teku is a fascinating word. The Gemara, from time to time, says we can't paskin this Shaila. We're going to leave it as a Teku. What does Teku literally mean?
Let it stand.
Let it be. Okay? Let it be for now. You can all sing the song later. If you look over on number 14, I brought you a beautiful little Tosfos Yontif. I forgot to give you a who's who today, but it's all the Rambam, apart from this, I think. This is the only one that is not the Rambam, right? Yeah, the rest is Gemara. The Tosfos Yontif, I'm going to tell you what he says now. He says, what does Teku mean? So look what he says in number 14. There's a Mishnah in Eduyot that says, we're going to get Eliyahu Navi. He's going to come back. This is the last Nevuah that we got from Malachi, at the very end of the book of Malachi. It says the very last, we read it as the Haftorah on Shabbos HaGadol before Pesach. So he says, I'm going to send you the Heshiv Leim, Abba Subani, Obanim, etc., etc. So what does that mean? What are the Arnavis doing? So look at the Tosfos Yontif. Tosfos Yontif lived in Poland in the 1700s. What? He's coming. Eliyahu Navi is coming. So we're going to see what he's coming for. Kaloima, listen. Elachukim ve'ala mishpatim. Yishva leiv avos im leiv banim. Okay? He's going to, when it comes to chukim and mishpatim, when it comes to laws, he's going to restore shalom between everybody. Why? Shaloti ye'oid machloikas be'nehem. There's not going to be any more machloikas because we're all going to resolve all these questions of machloikas of halacha. V'nirili, and he seems to me, he says, d'mihacha ragilim loima, we are used to saying, he didn't make this up, he's just telling this is what people say, d'teku, she'amru b'gemara, hi notrikon. What's a notrikon? When they say something's a notrikon. A notrikon is it's an acronym. What's an acronym? What is an acronym?
You've got like NASA or like...
Yeah, NASA's a perfect example. Okay? It's basically the word, the letters stand for something. It's an acronym. What does it stand for, Teku? Tishbi Yitaret Kushyot V'Abayot. The Tishbi will answer up all the questions. Who is the Tishbi? Right. Afogav, even though Shemashmo Ta, nearly that on a pshat, as it were, level, it means Tehekai. Teku means let it stand. In modern Hebrew, in Israeli culture, the word Teku, Lahavdil, means what? When do they say Teku? When there's a sports match, and the scores are even, and it's 6-6, and that's the end of the match, they say Teku, meaning neither side wins. And of course, on a pshat level, it means Tehekai, let it stand, but he says it means that Tishbi will answer all the questions. Meaning, Eliyahu Navi is coming back in the future, Are you going to answer all our shilas? Now, what's the problem with this?
We just said that you can't back
in halacha. So, what's amazing, and I've heard this once, and I don't remember exactly where I heard this, is Eliyahu is coming back as the Tishbi. As the Tishbi. Meaning, he's not coming back as Eliyahu. Eliyahu is wearing his Navi hat. Eliyahu wears two hats. He wears a Navi hat when he's Eliyahu, when he's answering questions of facts, and he wears a Chacham hat, where he's called Tishbi, where he's answering questions of law. Meaning, when it comes to Eliyahu as a Talmid Chacham, so Tishbi, Yitaritz, Kushin, Abayis, when Eliyahu is working as a Navi, so then he's not. What is Eliyahu doing as a Navi? So from time to time in Halacha, it says, Yehei Munach, Ashiyahu Eliyahu. The Halacha has to, the position has to rest until Eliyahu comes. What does that mean?
Can a Navi paskin as a Talmud Chacham?
Yes, absolutely. Then Eliyahu is wearing his Navi hat or his Chacham hat. For example, it's in Halach in Hashavas Aveda. I brought you an example from the Shulchan Aruch. See number 16. Matzah Talis. You found a piece of clothing, or cardam, or a piece of equipment. But Tadagada, next to a fence. Harizelo Yigavahem, don't touch it. Why shouldn't you pick up a piece of clothing if it's put over a fence?
It doesn't belong to you.
Okay, but maybe it's lost.
No,
anytime. You shouldn't. If a piece of clothing is put is left over, right? Because the person could have put it there and they came back for it. So says the Ramah. Ima dava mishdamer. If the place is relatively secure, kagoyin talis. What's that?
Hagam means the Ramah.
Yeah, that's the Ramah. Okay, in the Haggad, his observations of the Shulchan. Ima dava mishdamer kagoyin talis or kardam betzada gadet. If the thing is relatively safe, don't pick it up. It's a very practical halacha. You're not sure if it was left there just because the guy's coming back in 20 minutes or someone lost it there. Lo yigavahem, don't touch it. Bein yesh bo simon, bein bo simon, whether it has a simon meaning someone's name on it or whether it has no one's name on it. Avar v'naklai, if you did an aveira and you took it back to your house when you shouldn't have done. V'holichol abeis, you took it home. Im yesh bo simon yachris, so if it has a name on it now, you're going to have to go find the guy. And you've just caused a load of trouble because the guy came back to look for his jacket 5 minutes later and some, you know, goody-goody has picked it up off the fence and decided to do Hashavas Aveda when he should have just left it alone. But at least you can get back to him. But in Aimboy Simon, but if he has no Simon, what are you going to do now? You basically just picked up this guy's coat. So he says, Yehei Munach Achiyavu Eliyahu. This is the halacha. It has to wait for Eliyahu. When Eliyahu comes, you'll be able to ask him the shaila. And this is a question of fact, guys, not law. It's not what the halacha is. It's who does this coat belong to? So sometimes in halacha, Eliyahu is wearing his Navi hat, and sometimes he's wearing his Chacham hat. This is a real halacha. Now, how are you going to remember this for when Eliyahu comes? What are you going to do? This is real halacha. We're not playing games here. Where are you going to write it? So, some people advise you should write it on the back of like a sefer that you're going to pass down through the generations, like a chumash or something that you're going to give to your grandchildren, so that it's going to be there when Eliyahu comes. Somebody told me, although I checked this out online, I couldn't find any reference to it. Somebody told me that someone opened up a Gmail account for Eliyahu, eliyahuanovi@gmail.com, and now if you have a issue that you found something and you don't know who it belongs to and you need there to be a list there of stuff for when Eliyahu comes, so you send the email with all the details found at such and such a place, such and such a place, wrote it, yeah? And then Eliyahu Alavi is going to just check his Gmail when he comes.
But he won't know the password.
That is funny.
Now, he will,
he's a nubby. You don't have to worry about him knowing his password. That's exactly the point. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but if it's not true, it's a great idea. Presuming Eliyahu comes at a time when Gmail is still accessible. In the last 5 minutes, I just want to talk about this. So what is Nevuah? So I just want to talk about this for 5 minutes, because these were on your extra sources, but it's kedai for you to know about this. The Rambam in Mishnah Torah explains what you need to do to become a Navi. Being a Navi is not such a straightforward thing. In Morin Avuchim, he says that we don't go with the attitude. There are different understandings of how a person becomes a Navi. He said it's not that God just picks someone randomly and gives them. Yeah, the whole sheet's random. So it's not that God just picks someone randomly and makes them a Navi. God just speaks to you out of nowhere and makes you a Navi. He says, no, absolutely not. The Rambam's understanding of Nevuah, and I'm not going through the whole sheet, but is that a person works on themselves. This is actually source 18 and 19. A person meditates and thinks and increases their levels of consciousness until they are able to tap into Nevuah. The Rambam explained there in the Moreh Nevuchim, I advise you to look at this. He says the Rambam says the Nevuah is being broadcast at all times like an overflowing spring. So what happens? So listen, the Rambam says Nevuah is being broadcast at all times.
Even
to the whole, yes, absolutely. There's something in the middle called the Seichel HaPoel, which is what some people call the active intellect. Active intellect. This is the Rambam's understanding of how it all works.
If you're like a radio, and you just have to turn.
There's like radio waves coming down. You or I.
You just have to turn.
You are sitting here. You are sitting here, waiting to improve yourself. Here. You're down here. How do you acquire Nevuah? Says the Rambam. You go to Navi school. You work on your consciousness. And you raise your level of consciousness so that it connects with the Seichel HaPoel. Meaning, what's going on with Nevuah, says the Rambam, it's not that God just picks Nediva and speaks to her. It's that Nediva goes and she works on herself to the level that she becomes a highly developed personality. I haven't got time now, just for 1 second. If you look at what he says you have to become a Talmid Chacham, you have to work on your Yetzer Hara, you have to be someone who's very self-controlled. And it's almost like a meditative state. You always go, you have to go to because you have a unique connection because of your brain with what you tune in on a certain wavelength. The Rambam says that we believe, therefore, a person can become a Navi. God can turn off the taps. God can stop this happening, if you like, there. And therefore, it's not automatic completely. But if you are allowed to connect, if you're able to get online, you bring yourself up to the point where you actually connect with the wireless. These days, we can identify with this much better.
Yeah, like
because, you know, around the room right now, there are Wi-Fi, you know, broadcasts going through all our bodies, through the desks, through the blackboards, through the walls and everything. And we know that that's happening. This is all around us. All around us is the entire internet right now. Every piece of information on the internet is right here in this room. You just have to have a receiver which is tuned in to pick it up. Says the Rambam, on a Nevuah level, that receiver is your brain, elevated to a level of consciousness through meditation. Meditation is a very Jewish idea. There are all sorts of, you can learn how to do Jewish meditation. Rav Aryeh Kaplan wrote a book called Jewish Meditation, which is a worthwhile book to read about how a person learns to control its mind control. Mind control to the point that they connect in with the Nevuah. And for the Rambam, what that opens up is it opens up a channel through which your brain connects with this, and therefore Hashkocha and all sorts of things can flow down into that as well. Okay? This is also how prayer works. Prayer and Nevuah for the Rambam are very similar systems in many ways. You raise your own brain to a level of consciousness where you're connecting with something else. But it's certainly how Nevuah works. It's also how creation works. That's how all sorts of things work. So it's worthwhile getting to a deeper understanding of what Nevuah is, and then you'll realize that at least for the Rambam, you can't just go click and have Nevuah.
Also, Amos did that.
It's what?
Amos did that.
It's all take. Nobody became a Navi overnight, says the Rambam.
I don't know.